sports, all the time, all over the Tennessee Valley. WUMP Madison, W28 OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The Ump.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
They score! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt, connected! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Arky Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
We made it to the greatest college football Saturday the world has ever known. We did it, you guys. We did it. Oh, so many people to thank. I'd like to thank SEC Media Days for trying to make it seem like football was close. I'd like to thank baseball for taking forever. I like to take the NBA Finals because that was actually pretty fun for a little bit. A little bit made me forget about college football. But I don't have to do any more thanking because we are here and it is the sports flood. Happy Saturday. It's the happiest of Saturdays right now. I can't get... I'm going to cry. I'm so happy. And what's this? There's football on TV right now? Granted, it's Boston College and Georgia Tech. It's okay. It's okay. It's just an hors d'oeuvre. It's an hors d'oeuvre, really. It's a little morning snack as you wake up, little protein bar as you get out the door, and get ready to get everything that you needed to get done within the next 30 minutes or so. Because at 10:30, the show is off the air. For football. That's right, we're kicking it early style with football here. We'll start with coverage of Oklahoma and Houston right here on the Ump. That will be a funnin' to watch. That game will kick at 11. And then, of course, Alabama football pregame coverage starts at 4 p.m. And then there were all of the other ones. All of the ones we have waited these long 8 months for. And they get started in about an hour and 48 minutes. 58 minutes. Wow. It's that soon. My name is Arky Shea. So glad to have you guys aboard. We're going to have a good time on this ship today. We got a few things to talk about. I don't know how much deeper we're going to get into some of these games, but there are some later breaking developments in a couple of the games, plus thoughts on last night when Baylor beat Northwestern State. Talk about a interesting, at the very least, you can say, moment in that game. Because what would an Art Briles, formerly coached team, be? Or what would Baylor be if they didn't fudge up something royally and make themselves look as tone-deaf as ever and want time they're in public. Just one time. Can you just not do that? Just once. Just go for it once. Not the case in general. Hey, also, good news. If you're a Bob Jones Patriots fan, you heard that here on the Ump. Bob Jones gets the win over James Clemens in one of the best games I've ever had a chance to broadcast last night. And be even at, it was a phenomenal football game between two teams who flat out were getting after it. It was a defensive battle for the first half. The second half featured a lot more offense, but still hard hitting on both sides. You're talking about a game that had eight players that were All-State last year that are back on this year's team. That includes guys like Monty Rice, the linebacker, Kyrie McDonald, the safety. You know, he's an Alabama commit. Monty Rice can go to just about any SEC school he wants. LeBrian Ray, the defensive end, who is the number one player in the state of Alabama, which is saying something. Then you also have guys like Tucker Walters, who was the right guard for Bob Jones. Who else? A.J. Harris, defensive back, Ole Miss commit. Kendall Randolph, Alabama commit. I mean, just so much talent on that one field. It was really a fantastic game to watch because Bob Jones could not run the ball at all. It ain't happening. In fact, I think their longest gain last night may have been 3 yards and not maybe pushing it. It may have been like almost two. It was a tough night running the ball, but Brady Polson gets it done through the air. So does Mekhi Stewart. Mikhail Stewart, his twin brother, returns an interception for a touchdown. Just a wild, wild night and a fun one. In Madison last night. So I hope you guys had a chance to hear that. That one will be edited and put on our website, umpsports.com. You'll be able to click on the Sports Flood tab. That's where I put up the Bob Jones games to be able to hear Bob Jones and the highlights and the game entirety in itself on umpsports.com. So great night to be out last night, and it's going to be a great night to be inside today. I mean, it's almost too good to be true. We sit there and we look at the schedule and we see what's going to be happening today. And I know all of you guys have been planning for this for a while. And if you're listening to this in a car because you're running a couple of last honeydew errands, or maybe you forgot a couple of spices for the ribs you're cooking, you may want to get back to the house soon. This may be the only day I'm okay if you cut the show short, because you need to be in your recliner, ready to go at 10:30 in the morning. It's such a beautiful feeling, isn't it? It is. It is. People have been doing a lot of freaking out, though, this morning over game day. And I just, you know, I've had people over the years ask me why I don't like college game day. And I think it's fair that I should just give you this speech once a year, every year, and just tell you why it's no big deal for me, and why it's not a hatred of game day. I just don't like it. It's a zero for me, college game day. And it's not because I'm jealous. It's not because it's not on my radio station that I can't air college game day live, blah, blah, blah. It's not that. I used to work at a station that could air college game day live. Still didn't do nothing for me. Hasn't done anything for me. Using a little double negative there. Tell you I barely graduated Buckhorn High. Haven't had use for college game day in well over 12 years. Like, it's been a long time since I actually sat there and watched a full segment on college game day. And I think the reason is pretty simple. For me, I spend my entire weeks now, all of them, and especially on the show, on Cube Show, doing research throughout the day, getting all the new information that comes out from, you know, people out of South Carolina and Alabama and blah, 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 everywhere between. By the way, that's two blah, blah, blahs in the first segment. That could be a record. And it's just nonstop information. It's just nonstop. I think we're in a different era for information than what College Game Day first came to us as. College Game Day used to be where you got everybody's that was important picks, because that was the platform. Now, I can give you my picks 5 days a week, and I'm not anybody significant, apparently. Although, no, you're right. Cole Kublik can give you the Rubik's Kublik, and he's got his own radio show. Cole's got 14,000 Twitter followers. There's an audience just about everywhere for everyone. So College Game Day is a nothing for me. I don't need Kirk Herbstreit's opinion. I don't want to know how he breaks down the film. It doesn't matter to me. Because for all of the hoopla around what that game actually is, it really is, especially week one, it really is just a warming over of everything we've been saying for the past 5-6 months. Anyway, there's not a lot of new information, and because they get to happen on the Saturday, they get some of the latest information. But how much is different from what you didn't know 3 days ago? Deshaun Watson all of a sudden not going to be a good quarterback? You want them to show you a highlight reel of how good he is? Because I feel like you've seen it. Are they going to warm over Tennessee and what happened just a couple of nights ago? It's not like we didn't see them struggle. So it's not anything new and different to me. It's basically just characters being characters. You know, you have Kirk Herbstreit who will go and do games, and that's professional of him, and he can't really take opinions on a couple of the games. That's just kind of his journalistic ethics there. Heaven forbid he actually tell us in the game that he's going to do what he think is going to happen and still it not happen that way. Because also, heaven forbid that the color commentator had an opinion. I mean, really. I can't give you my opinion on who I think is going to win this game because it will be biased. When's the last color commentator that's won or lost a game? Just because you listen, you guys already hate Gary Danielson because you think he's anti-Alabama. He's not, but you guys already hate him because he is, or at least he seems it to you. How many Alabama national championships are there in the Gary Danielson era on CBS? Has he stopped you from winning? Anyway, that's a side note that we'll get to maybe at a different point in our lifetime. But it's just nothing for me. But I'll tell you what it is for me on today. It's a little different today because it does signify the opening of college football. And not only that, but the renewing of the excitement for the season. Because it is a dead sprint from here to the beginning of January. It is nonstop. Before you know it, after tonight's games, and trust me, I'm not trying to fast forward at all. I want to soak it in. I want every second to last a minute. But you'll be surprised how quickly Wednesday will be here. And how quickly Thursday's head coach will be here. And how quickly high school football will be back on Friday and then again Saturday. And all of a sudden we're in week five. So try to soak some of these games in. But it does signify to game day that we're officially back. And it does get the juices flowing for college football. Because, again, last Friday night, first official game on a different continent. Thursday night, first slate of games. Fun to watch, but not the weekend we've been previewing. And now here on Saturday, it's day of. And, you know, and I think what College Game Day gets credit for is basically just being the one that's been there forever. You know, there are characters that Lee Corso does his headgear and people freak out over it. Doesn't mean anything to me or to you, but it's exciting, right? That he puts on a helmet or a mascot head. But just doesn't do anything for me. And I'll be honest with you, and I'm not trying to blow smoke up here, but there are shows on this network that we play here on the Ump that are so much better than what College Game Day does. Granted, you're somewhat limited visually, but it's so much better than what's happening on College Game Day. The analysis is so much crisper. It's so much more interesting. It's presented in a different and better way. The only thing College Game Day has got going forward is that people bring signs to it. Not a lot of people bringing signs to our radio shows. And it's on TV where you can show visuals. That's about it. There are characters all over this network. I don't even mean Scott Farrell and guys like that. Forget that. I'm talking local guys. I don't know. Just, I don't know if it does anything for you. I don't see really the merit in it. Now, it's not going away. I'm not advocating for it to go away, but I'm not watching it. I never watch game day. I never watch game day. I'm watching Georgia Tech Boston College right now. There's 3 minutes to go in the game. I'm watching that game from Ireland right now because I'd rather watch two not-so-great ACC teams play than watch Lee Corso put on a helmet, than watch Paul Feinbaum look very tiny next to people. In fact, I'm not even sure he's at that. I think he's on SEC Nation now. Again, I'm not even on that channel. SEC Nation, God bless you for trying, but if there's a football game on, I'm going there. And if there's not a football game on, then I'll just wait till a football game comes on at 11. It's background noise. It's ambiance as you're getting ready for your day. But I don't know. Maybe you could tweet me and tell me what college game day means to you and why it appeals to you. At Arkysha, A-R-K-Y-S-H-E-A. Follow me on Twitter and tweet at me what you think, what it appeals to you as game day. Am I wrong? I just don't get it. It doesn't feel any more than sort of a ceremonial show. Is it entertaining to you? Do you learn anything from it? Also, you can call in throughout the program as well. 866-485-9867. A game-shortened show. First time we had one of those in a while. A game-shortened show right here on The Ump as we get ready for Houston and Oklahoma coming up starting at 10:30. The coverage starts there from NRG Stadium. Coming up, Baylor just doesn't get it. And I don't know if you can ever teach it to them. The latest stupid decision to happen from Waco next. Sports Flood. Saturday has never smelt so good as it does today, as college football is finally back, and please, college football, never leave us again. It's not cool when you do that, all right? Don't do that. It's so mean. It's the longest off season between sports. I mean, honest to pieces, it's just, you go January like 15th, 10th some years, you get games, and you don't get them again until August 31st at the earliest. It's just way too long. Why does baseball get that play from March until October? That's not fair. It's not fair at all. Falling on my laces. Ooh, falling on my laces tweets. At Arkysha, at The Sports Flood, that's the show Twitter account. Give that a follow as well this season. Watching game day is like reading the newspaper. There's a tendency to romanticize past traditions. You know, I tend to agree. Just because it's old and it's happened and we're used to it, we tend to romanticize it and think it's, you know, fun or great or such a great thing. I mean, What's the best part about college game day to you? It has to be signs, really? That's the only thing I ever get. On my timeline on Saturday mornings, I'll get signs retweeted onto my timeline, and it's like, oh, some of those are funny. But people could put those on Twitter anyway. But people just show up with the funny signs, and that's it. I mean, every now and then, really, how rare is it that you get like a Katy Perry to come on set and pick up a corn dog? And that was legit. I went back and watched the video on that one. I won't lie. That's funny. But how often is Katy Perry? More often is Kenny Chesney or Darius Rucker showing up on set saying, I want to make some picks. Come on. Get the big names. Or just don't do it at all. Celebrity guest picker. Anyway. I do have a poll like that up at Ed Arkysha on Twitter. Why do you watch College Game Day? Three options. One, it's fun. Two, I learn. Three, beats paid programming. which is also an option. When you're up 9 o'clock in the morning and you're waiting 2 hours for games, does it just beat pay programming? Is it just better than everything else that's on? Very, very, very important to the success of College Game Day is before every game. College Game Day isn't between the morning and afternoon games. It's before every game. What's on at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday? It's either cartoons or this. Or Shake Weight commercials. Are they still selling those? I'm going to look that up, Shake Weight. In the meantime, I do want to tell you about the latest and greatest and what the Fighting Art Briles did last night. Baylor, of course, has fired Art Briles because, well, it was shown by a law firm that they did not exactly do a good job investigating claims of sexual assault and did not discipline his players for doing such things. So, Art Briles is gone. Ken Starr and the AD seem to be the only guys that ever got any other trouble besides Art Briles, because Jim Grobe was the head coach, and he kept 9 assistant coaches on the team. Now, May 30th, Jim Grobe was given the job. So it's pretty late in the process, and Baylor, Freudian slip there, Baylor does not want to lose a lot of ball games. So they kept on 9 assistant coaches. Unbelievable. But that also included the son of the former Baylor coach, Kendall Briles. And last night, when the Bears beat the Northwestern States of the world, man, can that even be a school, really? It's a direction and state. Northwestern State. It doesn't... Anyway. After beating Northwestern State 55-7, and being excited as Jim Grobe was, we forgot to mention one thing. That Kendall Briles basically gave a middle finger to all of us. Gave a middle finger to you, gave a middle finger to you, gave a middle finger to me. Because on his hand, he has the initials CAB written in bold marker. Not sure if you want to do the math on that, but how about Coach Art Briles? That's not as I'm hailing a cab hand for after the game. Jim Grobe did not know this and joked that he wondered whether CAB was just a reminder to call a certain play. What are they doing in Waco? Jim Grobe has no idea what's going on, does he? This is one of the most dysfunctional situations I've seen in a long time. Maybe ever. Not as far as how bad just the initial crimes were, but how tone deaf and clueless these people are. Kendall Briles is lucky to still have a job. That entire staff should have been wiped out. Should have been completely wiped out. But they stayed on board when Jim Grobe came on to try to prevent a disastrous 2016 season. And instead of just moving forward, another incident of chaos. I understand Kendall Briles is the son of Art Briles, but how about this? Just chill out. Don't do this. Your university is in a lot of hot water. And you know eyes are going to be on that game for at least a little bit to see if you guys did something dumb. And that was something dumb. You know, I'll tell you this. You can pay tributes without ever being seen. No one ever knew that under my soccer jersey, I wore a T-shirt that had all the names of the people that I was playing games for, including my grandmother who had passed away, and my grandfather. It had everyone's name on there. that I was playing for. I played the game in honor of them, so to speak. No one ever knew it. I knew it. Isn't that all that matters? Kendall Briles, he could get CAB tattooed on his nipples, and I'm okay with that. But the top of the hand, the top of the hand is a pretty easy sign, and he didn't do it in fine Sharpie form. Big, bold, fat Sharpie as a big, bold middle finger. This program is clueless. Let's not forget that they just had a player get in trouble for not only beating his dog, but had Jim Grobe, the head coach, come out and say, well, listen, that's just, you know, I mean, he was having a little problem with it. He went to the bathroom in the house. What do you want him to do? I mean, okay, that's bad. That's bad. You're right. That's bad. That's bad. That's my fault. Shouldn't have said that. And then that same player shows up as a starting wide receiver for game one. Jim Grobe later has to say, okay, all right, he's suspended for 3 games. My bad. My bad. It's like they want us to see if we're not going to pay attention to them. Are they just so used to us not paying attention to them that they think they can just get away with everything? Unreal what is happening in Waco. The most clueless organization I've seen in football in a long time. Cannot not only have these issues constantly happen, but you fire a coach because he didn't do anything on the sexual assault investigations and discipline. You brought in another guy who everybody says is a good coach, a good guy. He's a guy that's going to be perfect to sort of keep that thing on the straight and narrow. And then immediately, chaos ensues. Unbelievable. Is Jim Grobe even doing anything there? I watched some of the highlights last night when I got in from the Bob Jones game, and it looked like his headset was on his head. I'm pretty sure they didn't turn it on, though. There's no way Jim Grobe's doing anything there. The inmates are running Waco, is what they're doing. Just absolutely disgusting. It's stupid. It's a lack of awareness. It's a lack of empathy. It's a lack of, we're Baylor, we're different. Thought you guys would look away at it by now. It's Friday night. Aren't you guys doing something else? Hey, listen, over on the other channel, you guys could easily go watch Colorado State. Leave us alone. Oh, hey, listen. Go watch Arkansas State Toledo. Okay? Just leave us alone. It's Northwestern State. We're good. God almighty, I don't get it. I absolutely, positively do not get it. And I don't know, and I'm not saying ban the program, but I may be saying just cancel the season. What else is going to keep happening? There's going to be 2 or 3 more stories that come out this year that are just going to boggle my mind. Baylor, what is wrong with you? I think they just don't care. They just don't care. Middle finger to all of us. Go to Twitter, by the way, to tell me why I should ease off of Baylor or whether or not I should burn him to the ground. As in, like, me actually go to Waco with some gasoline. Jesus. Such a ridiculous situation there. Going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, USC has sent a player home. Already were without one of their linebackers to start tonight's game against Alabama, but now sending a defensive end home? The reason why, and the disgusting story behind all of it. Okay, I promise there'll be some good news eventually. Football will eventually be played. Sports Flood. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. So in the first result of the day, the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets come back to beat Boston College late in Ireland, 17-14. Boston College with Patrick Toles at quarterback, dedicating this whole season to Harambe, the stupid gorilla. So I'm glad he got his comeuppance. I hope Boston College doesn't win an entire game. In fact, I hope the only games he wins, they win, are the one Patrick Toles doesn't play in. How's that? That's how much I hate that stupid monkey meme and story that keeps going around. You guys need to stop. Just stop. Knock it off. So, Southern California is now without a second player who was this time was actually sent home on the defensive side by the team amid an accusation that he was involved with a teammate in an alleged sexual assault. Its defensive end Don Hill was who was sent home yesterday because or in part due to that accusation. Now, this all stems from one particular story that is absolutely insane. According to details in a search warrant and affidavit, Hill is accused of sexually assaulting a woman in his off-campus apartment on July 15th. The investigation also includes Osa Messina, who did not travel at all to Texas for the game because he's under investigation from three different police departments for sexual assaults at two different times. Now, neither one of those have been arrested or charged, but July 15th and another, by the way, investigation on July 26th in a different state. Here's where things get wrong. Southern Cal linebacker Osa Messina was suspended because he allegedly drugged a young woman, got her drunk as well, and then allowed her to, or maybe encouraged her to, smoke marijuana. So it's Xanax, wine, and marijuana. To which Messina allegedly took advantage of the young woman, who remembered bits and pieces of the incident, but did not remember how her clothes got off, but did remember having intercourse with Messina, but did not remember anything leading up to it. Sadly, we've seen this before, and we will see it again. But here's the part where it gets a little wonky. Because it's further reported that Messina took video of him having intercourse with the young woman. He also posted it to social media in the form of Snapchat videos. And here's the kicker. Osa allegedly took the video, put it on Snapchat, and sent it to the woman's ex-boyfriend. The reason this investigation became about is because 2 weeks after this happened, around July 15th that weekend, she found out through other parties that he had sent the pictures and videos to her ex while she was passed out. That's what prompted her to go to the police. There's no reason to have a guy like that get a second chance at anything. That is one of the most disgusting and Richard moves I can imagine someone doing. You know, I'm so glad that we're going to get games today. That we can have fewer of these stories happening from the offseason. And the thing that bothers me the most about this is that I'm sure this is not the last, first, or even the next couple of times something like this will happen. Because sadly, we've created a strange society and generation where social media gives you access to everything and everybody. And if you want to damage someone, you can. It's not enough, I guess, for Mr. Messina, if this is true, to have taken advantage of a woman by slipping her or giving her a Xanax pill, giving her wine, going to a frat party where they bought more alcohol and wine, where she drank there more, got another Xanax pill, and then smoked marijuana when he gave it to her. It's not enough that he forced her into a couple of those situations. He had to also have sex with her. And it's not enough that he had to force himself upon her, who was nothing more than a limp body trying to basically stay conscious. He had to take his own personal video and pictures of it. And it's not even stopping at that. All of those are sick and gross, even if you wanted to keep the video and pictures for your own consumption. He then had to put it to social media. He then had to send it to her ex-boyfriend. This is a bad, bad, bad person. And I know USC is just doing the right thing by letting the facts be what they are. But there was a subpoena filled out to go get that cell phone of Mr. Messina's and to go get DNA samples from Mr. Messina. Because the woman, once... This would be great. The young woman also claims when she finally passed out, she awoke him on top of her again, engaging in anal sex and also forced oral sex. So the woman then goes and actually gets a rape kit. And there, my friends, is where the justice can possibly happen. Maybe that DNA is grabbed, maybe it matches, and maybe Mr. Messina actually gets his comeuppance. By comeuppance, I mean sent to prison for a while. Because that is just... You know how, like, guys and kids can make mistakes? You know, and you can smoke pot and get caught, and that's a mistake, you know, but you're young and you're in college. You can underage drink once or twice and or a dozen times, depending on who you are and how often you partied in college, or even, hell, right after high school, and make mistakes as long as you know you don't go drive. Sometimes you can even get a DUI and you put people in danger, and it's kind of a mistake. Some people get second chances. This was complete premeditation on the grossest kind. And that's why this deserves our scowl more than a Cam Robinson for having marijuana in a car with a gun. Or even Steven Roberts, who had a gun that hadn't been registered yet. But let's not forget fled from police. Even that is not nearly as bad as what Osa Messina allegedly did. We come back. Let's get to the football game, shall we? Let's get to the football games. And breaking news out of the NFL, where there is a trade. A trade for quarterbacks. The Minnesota Vikings are looking for a quarterback, and now they have one, thanks to a trade with a team out of the same conference. That's all next. Breaking news, as the Philadelphia Eagles have traded Sam Bradford to the Minnesota Vikings. Well, for a first-round pick. Okay, honest to pieces. Sam Bradford. First round pick. That is That is sign number one that you're desperate, that you're giving another first-round pick to Sam Bradford. How many first-round picks does that make for Sam Bradford? Not to mention the fact he was drafted first round. That feels like, is that four? Four first-round picks so far, including his draft status and draft stock? Oh, my God. Sam Bradford. By the way, Teddy Bridgewater is a broken quarterback, and now they're going to get one that's going to break within 2 weeks. Man, Sam Bradford to the Minnesota Vikings. Hey, congratulations. You got yourself one. I didn't say a good one. You just got yourself one. Coming up on the top of the hour, where we've got, oh, man, just 30 more minutes left of the show before we get to college football. We'll talk the rest of the way about the actual college football games. I'm tired of getting out of the gross stuff, but it does not do a service for you, for me, for anybody if we don't talk about the bad things that happen so we can try to clean up some issues. And I also believe in shaming. I believe we should make sure that bad people get told that they're bad people and they get punished for it. That's kind of my philosophy in life. So if you're bad, holla. You're on my list that will get discussed. It may be the reason why I never make it to ESPN, but that's fine. I love Huntsville. One more half hour to go. Let's get all football on, y'all.
Hello, America, Mexico, and remote parts of Canada.
Omaha! 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 Omaha!
If the noise persists, the defense will be charged with a timeout.
They score! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
A right by Watt connected! Another right by Watt! Another right! Uppercut by Watt! A right by Watt! A right by Watt! An uppercut!
Saturdays have bite.
She's banging the quarterback.
Saturdays have sass.
No trouble.
Saturdays have the sports flood.
No duh.
It ain't a show. It's an experience.
Will my cable provider have it?
Now, open your ears, close your eyes, and take a deep breath. It's about to get real.
I don't know what that means.
It's Arky Shea.
I'm not going to be subject to your abuse anymore.
Last chance to dance with the man who brought you. Arky Shea here. Sports Plus Saturdays. 9 to 11 game shortened show today. Because at 10:30 we will join the Oklahoma Sooners and the Houston Cougars. Right here on the ump. The cool thing about that, when it's a top 15 matchup, Houston has not beaten an AP top 3 ranked team since 1984. Holy cow. That was Texas back then. Since that, Houston has lost 3 straight against top 3 opponents by an average of 37 points a game. Biggest upset of the weekend would probably be if Oklahoma beat Houston by 37. That would surprise me more than anything else this weekend. So that is going to be the first game you'll get, and then you'll get Alabama taking on USC coming up at 4 o'clock. Pregame coverage with Eli Gold and company. We'll start there. Actually, that's more of a Tyler Watts situation on the pregame with some Chris Stewart all over the place for that game as the Tide and USC battle tonight in Dallas. So with just a couple of segments left, I think it's time to actually talk some football. Shall we do that? Shall we finally get into the nuts and bolts of the situation now that we got Baylor and USC out of our consciousness now? Let's do it, shall we? This weekend will be legit. And we should start first with number one, Alabama. Alabama-USC tonight is going to be something really, 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 I'm just going to say stupid. Because, and you guys know, a lot of times, you know, I'm hip. Sometimes stupid means cool to me. And really kind of crazy good. You know, Alabama has spent the last 9 seasons at some point at number one in the AP poll, which is crazy. For Alabama, being the number one team in the preseason AP poll, it does mean a little something. Because number one teams in the preseason AP poll have won 25 straight season openers since 1990 when Miami fell to BYU. An all-time Preseason number one teams are 59-6-1 in their season opener, including 4-0 for Alabama and 2-0 for Nick Saban. The last preseason number one team to lose, as I said, was Miami. But that was a three-year stretch where Florida State lost in 88, 89, Michigan lost to Notre Dame, and Miami lost to BYU, of course, in 1990. Actually, interesting to note that Auburn in 1984 lost to Miami. So Alabama's going to be in an interesting situation because they are not only replacing quarterback, but they're also replacing the running backs. They are replacing Derrick Henry and Kenyon Drake, which happened to combine for 2,627 rushing yards. Huh, that's a little bit. Alabama lost nearly 90% of their rushing attack from last season. In fact, Damian Harris is the leading rusher returning with 157 yards. 89.9% of their yards gained no longer on the roster. So how does Alabama replace? Well, obviously, we've heard that Damian Harris and Bo Scarborough are going to be the two running backs that are going to be getting the significant amount of playing time. And I'll tell you this. Damian Harris is, I think, one of the few tailbacks in Alabama history that, and I should say in the short history, that people are, fans are, people on Twitter who discuss things with me or in general that I watch you guys say things, just completely bypass. Because tell me if there isn't a running back that's been talked about more for Alabama this year than Bo Scarborough. Damian Harris is the leading returning rusher. Damian Harris has been in the program a couple of years. And what has been the mantra for Alabama basically since Mark Ingram? You think this guy's good? Wait till you see what we got behind him. Oh, you think this guy's good? Well, wait till you see behind. You think Eddie Lacy's good? Wait till you see what we had behind him. And when it came to Derrick Henry, I did see people say, maybe not to the same degree, but they did say Derrick Henry was good, but they're not going to lose much. You check out this Bo Scarborough kid, number 9. Completely bypassing Damian Harris. Almost a complete afterthought. And he's had fumble issues before. He's had limited time before to be any type of a dynamic starting feature guy. Bo Scarborough, all the photographs we see of him being a veined freak of nature, does that mean he's going to be the guy this year? Well, he's been nicked up for most of practices, it felt like. Every scrimmage I hear about, he goes out within the first quarter, and they keep him out for precautions. He gets hurt a lot. Damian Harris could be a story worth rooting for. There's not a lot of underdog stories in Tuscaloosa. I got to be frank with you. There's not a lot of underdog guys to root for in Tuscaloosa because they're underdogs. There's just not a lot, especially those who are going to actually get the start at tailback. But that's a story I'm going to root for this season. Because he's the next in line, and we're not saying, watch out for this guy. We're saying, Bo Scarborough. Bro. Come check out Bo, bro. Bo knows, bro. This Bo knows, bro. I'll actually be rooting for Damian Harris, and I don't root a lot for teams and individual players in football. I just like the games to be close and good. But rooting for him will be good. You know, the other guy I would root for a little bit is Robert Foster as well, receiver for Alabama, because if I'm not mistaken, wasn't he the guy last year? Wasn't he one of the top receivers until he got hurt? I think Calvin Ridley, as a freshman, came onto the scene and just blowed up. eventually led the team with 89 catches, 1,045 yards, and 7 touchdowns last year. His yards actually broke Amari Cooper's freshman record of 1,000 even back in 2012. And, you know, I don't like Alabama playing on the neutral side, but this is tonight, you know, tonight's not the place for that. You know, I've had my chance to speak on it, and I don't like it. You guys know it, but I'm moving on. I really am. I am moving on because it's game day. And they'll go against Max Brown. By the way, I wanted to mention something about possibly Blake Barnett starting at quarterback or Cooper Bateman. You know, Cooper Bateman may not be the flashiest of names and players to take the job. And we've talked ad nauseum about the same situation. But we seem to talk about Cooper Bateman as if he's just a minor afterthought when I think he was 11 of 16 last year for like 130 yards. He wasn't a scrub coming back in. He's coming back. I fully expect Cooper Bateman to get the start. I think Cooper Bateman is better than we're giving him credit for. But I think Blake Barnett is really good, too. And I think they're both pretty capable quarterbacks in this system. But let's not act like Cooper Bateman was tossing in like a 25% clip in the few times he was out there. USC will have a new starting quarterback this year, replacing Cody Kessler, which will be fun to do because he is third all-time in USC completions. Also passing touchdowns and fourth in passing yards. Started all 41 games the last three seasons. Doing so will be Max Brown. Max Brown is the Gatorade Player of the Year, number one player in the country a couple seasons ago. Y'all know about people's records. Getting their first start against Nick Saban's team in Alabama. Outscored 125-13. Not good. Alabama defense could be a little bit of an issue for Max Brown. He's got weapons, two really good tailbacks who could both legitimately go for 1,000 yards this season. A pretty darn good offensive line and a defensive line that's got some players on it. And he's got a really good safety in Josh Smith. So I think this will be a very close game, a much closer game than a lot of people want to give it credit for. I'm looking at you, M-O-T-T-S Sports, on Twitter, who I've already favorited your tweet to be able to tell me that Alabama's going to win by 25. That is not happening tonight. Clemson and Auburn is the late game tonight at 8 o'clock. Alabama has the longest consecutive winning streak against unranked opponents at 60. Whew. Alabama at 60, but Clemson, number two there, with 39 straight wins against unranked opponents. Auburn does come into this matchup unranked. Deshaun Watson last year, 47 total touchdowns, 5,200 yards. How do you stop a force like that? How do you contain someone who is that talented? I mean, it's hard. It's hard to be able to contain someone like that, no matter how good your defense is. Alabama's really good, right? 40 points still scored against them last year. In that national championship game. I'm going to blow you some more in just a few minutes, but first, let's go to the phone lines now. Let's give you guys a shot. Going blind here. Welcome to the Sports Flood. Good morning.
Hey, look here. If you're talking about Cooper Bateman, I mean, I dig up Ken Stabler's dead old butt the more I play Cooper Bateman.
He may be able to still complete a couple of passes in this offense.
Oh my God, over Cooper Bateman, man, give me a break. I'd give Tim Tebow's left foot a chance before I do that. Son of a gun's gonna play every sport before he plays football again. I'd take him over Cooper Bateman.
What's wrong with Cooper Bateman? Legitimately, what's wrong with Cooper Bateman?
I don't like a quarterback named Cooper. Okay. That's why he's the one fanning brother that never made it. His name's Cooper. I like it.
Now I'm with some legit analysis. I like that. Okay. I prefer that as any other reason people have given me. You just don't like it being named Cooper. That's good. That's smarter. I appreciate that.
That's Cooper, Ark. I hate it.
It's not a good name. It's not a good name. Thanks for the call. If you want to call in, 866-485-9867, 866-485-WUMP. That I appreciate more than just telling me Cooper Bateman can't be a good quarterback. He likes the name Ken above Cooper. I would say that as well. Listen, Blake Sims destroyed Alabama records and was a running back, and who, when we've talked to people after the season, especially late in the season and after the season in Tuscaloosa, said it was darn near impossible to try to institute a game plan with Blake Sims and to get him to get the calls easily. Like, it was tough. Jake Coker is a guy who couldn't beat that guy. And then he gets his shot and wins a national championship. And by the way, if you go 12-2 in Tuscaloosa, and you're a guy that's a running back playing quarterback for the entire year and break records, slight disappointment for only winning the SEC and not the national championship. But honest to pieces, how bad could Cooper Bateman possibly be? I mean, really, how bad do you think Cooper Bateman is? He is one of two guys that's still in this race. Is it because he's just decided not to transfer out? Is that why he's still number two? Because he's beating out everybody's golden boy, who I sat here and told you on the show, or on this show and on the Cube show time and time again, he ain't getting the start. Jalen Hurts ain't getting the start. No. Didn't want to believe me. Cooper frickin' Bateman. Last year against Ole Miss, 11 of 14, 87 yards. Not terrible. Not beautiful, not great football playing, not the best in the world. Please, give me this. Cooper Bateman's terrible. Come on. What's terrible is some of the teams that they'll play against, because they'll be outmatched by Alabama by a lot. But Cooper Bateman, not terrible. There's not a player on this Alabama team that's terrible. And there's not a quarterback that's on that roster that, if you said he had to have him, Lane Kiffin, I'm referring to, and said Lane Kiffin had to design a game plan that he couldn't design a game plan around and win minimum 10 games. So Cooper Bateman may not win the Heisman, but he can win you games. And by the way, in that Ole Miss game, he wasn't the only person who threw an interception or fumbled the ball or lost control. It wasn't just him. That started kickoff. That was tailback. That was everybody last year. 866-485-9867. One final segment before we get to finally live football. I know we had something at 6:30, but let's be fair. We weren't awake at 6:30, unless you guys were smoking ribs or something. Which, in that case, appreciate the heads up next time to have some ribs, or at least be able to come over this afternoon and get some during the games. 866-485-9867. One last shot coming up. Sports Flood. It's hot. Keep them coming. 866-485-9867. About 9 or so minutes left here in the program. Oklahoma and Houston set to come up at 10:30. Then Alabama, the only place you can hear the home call of the Crimson Tide with Eli Gold, Phil Savage, Chris Stewart, Tyler Watts, all those bad boys back in action for 2016. The only place you can hear all 3 hours of pregame coverage as you're driving down to Tuscaloosa to then travel to Dallas, if you want, because the game's not in Tuscaloosa. For wherever you are this year, all 3 hours on the ump, all 2 hours, I guess both of them. It's about two and a half hours of the postgame. As well, it's a pretty darn good post game. I've listened to it a bunch of times, being here programming it, and it's actually a pretty darn good post game. All of that coverage, including the game itself and the home call, exclusively on Ump Sports. So now, as we turn the page, quite literally, to get to the biggins that weren't Alabama and were not Auburn, the games that we're going to enjoy the most. And I gotta be honest with you, the only reason I would be kind of interested in LSU and Wisconsin is just to see Lambeau Field. And in fact, one of the reasons I hate Twitter is because a lot of people get access, I wouldn't say a lot of people, but some people get access to things that I want to wait till game day to see. Like, the first time I saw this was the college football playoff semifinals, when I saw someone tweet out from the stadiums that the fields, the end zones, were painted black with the team's name on them. I didn't want that. I didn't want to see that. I wanted to wait till game day, because I kind of miss being able to just tune into a game and just sort of see something happen and be like, whoa, look at that. That looks really cool. As opposed to knowing 2 days before. Like, I feel kind of bad that I know kind of what Bristol Motor Speedway is going to look like before. And that's the case with Lambeau Field, because Lambeau Field's got a really neat setup for what's going to be tonight. They have sort of the Notre Dame backslashes, so I could really call them the stripes, going in the end zone, which with each team's logo on their respective end zone on the right side of it as you're looking at it. So a smaller version of Wisconsin and a smaller version of LSU's logo, which is kind of a neat look. That's about the only reason I want to see it, because it's going to be the first major college football game at Lambeau Field ever. It's never happened before. There's been a couple of little league football games, but it's going to be the first one. Wisconsin looking to avoid their first consecutive opening game losing streak since the late 90s with Barry Alvarez. This could be the third year in a row that they lose their opener. And I don't think anybody expects Wisconsin to win this game. You know, Leonard Fournette, and I just want to make it known how good he is, because I think you guys know, but I want to put it back in perspective. Until the Alabama game, he was rushing for 200 yards a game. Until the Alabama game, he was the odds-on favorite to bring home the Heisman Trophy. Now, it's a lot that a high-profile game like Alabama can do when you only get 31 total yards or 31 rushing yards. That does hurt you. But he still finished averaging 162 yards a game, just 38 shy of 2,000, and that's with missing a game. Leonard Fournette tied with Christian McCaffrey for the second-best odds to win the Heisman itself. The big game. The one that's more important than all of them, and you guys should start watching this at 2:30 today, is Texas A&M and UCLA. That's right! Because this could be, at the end of the year, a matchup that you go back and say that there were two top 15 teams, two top 10 teams, possibly, that have met in this game, even though they're not. UCLA, 12 straight wins in August, September. You know who else starts hot? Texas A&M, 11 straight wins. That's third most in the country. UCLA, second most. Trevor Knight, fresh off his breakup with Sadie Robinson, ready to do damage against Josh Rosen and company. The great thing is for Texas A&M is that this will be the year we find out. This will be the year we find out if Texas A&M is ever going to be good under Kevin Sumlin. They have too many weapons offensively not to be good there. And now to have Trevor Knight, who was basically anointed the starter as soon as he came into College Station, too many weapons to fail. That's a fact. So, I tell you this. If Texas A&M loses this game, they are in for possibly firing Kevin Sumlin. Not today. Well, maybe. I don't know. I saw Les Miles almost get fired at halftime, so I'm really not putting anything out of the equation anymore. But by the season's end, could be bad news for UCLA, for Texas A&M. Because if Texas wins, they have just as much offensive talent as anybody in the conference. across the board, they have just as many bodies that can move the ball and make plays. And defensively, Daylon Mack and Myles Garrett are going to be two guys that are going to be high draft picks when they finally come out. It's not enough to win eight games in the SEC West. Not with that talent, not with $5 million going to Kevin Sumlin. Kevin Sumlin was at the right place at the right time when Texas A&M came into the SEC. He came from Houston, got to Texas A&M. Texas A&M said, boom, we won the SEC. And then he was the right place at the right time when Johnny Manziel came in. Right place, right time. Johnny Manziel comes in, wins the Heisman Accords, beats number one Alabama on the road. Texas A&M swag goes off the charts when it never should have been on the charts. And all they have done, even in that year, went to the Cotton Bowl. And all they've done since is be mediocre after mediocre after mediocre. All they've done since has been poor on defense and losing quarterbacks left and right. You understand, the leading quarterbacks from the last two seasons, all three of them that have the most starts are gone. In fact, they're starting at other universities this week. Now, Trevor Knight getting a second chance, going from Oklahoma, where he beat Alabama. We all remember that. Oklahoma has the Sugar Bowl year, pretty good season a couple years ago, to the SEC, where he will get another shot at Alabama eventually. But if he can get past UCLA, Texas A&M could be a team that starts momentum and starts getting high up the polls quickly. Because people get very, very, very jaded with this first week. And by jaded, I mean they start giving all kinds of love to all kinds of people who may not deserve it. And they also hate on teams that maybe they don't need to be hating on either. Tennessee will get a lot of criticism, but Michigan State struggled last night too. They should get criticism. But getting love will quite definitely be the Texas A&M Aggies, because they are a hot team. They are a team that is sexy because of that offense. So there you go. There you have it. Texas A&M. If they're going to win the SEC West, and this is going to sound crazy, but hear me out. If they're going to win the SEC West, they have to win today. That's it. They have to win today. They will not cobble together an SEC West championship run if they don't win today. And how great is Uncle Vern being back, huh? And Gary? Oh. Guys, can you not hate Uncle Vern just this one season? Let me have him this one last season. It's his last year. Let me have him. You guys, just enjoy football. Enjoy Uncle Vern. Just don't hate on him this last year, because he's going to make mistakes. Just let it slide for 1 year. Leave him alone. He's my friend. College football is next. Oklahoma and Houston. Coming up in 15 seconds. No, wait. 12 seconds. Sports Flood. Thanks for listening.